Bring the attention into the core of consciousness. Extract your energy from any identification with the gross body or the self-image of the ego or the operating system of thought. And enter fully into the timeless present. Realize the self that you are eternally, that is unborn and deathless. The essence of absolute consciousness, that is always already perfect, complete, without desire, without illusion, without lack. Abide as your supreme self. The self that was prior to the emergence of the cosmos, that is throughout the cycle of time, and that shall abide beyond the end of time. Realize the self that is without concepts, without narratives, without stories, without beliefs, without limitations. Without form. Without name, empty of ego, but filled with divine light, power, love, joy, and the total purity of the absolute, undefilable self. For whom there is no other, no second, and thus no fear. Realize you are the infinite self. Without boundaries, beyond all duality, including subject and object. Let the fullness of the feeling of absolute wholeness, completeness, fearlessness, creative power, all emerge as essential qualities of being. Allow the infinite intelligence of the eternal self that you are to open. Be saturated with the vibrational frequency of your ultimate reality. And know the true nature of your heart in the blissful silence of complete presence. Complete and total consciousness infinite blissful power and claim this perfection of being as yourself in all conditions, in every moment, at every level. And without deviation. Realize that the self, the one, the only absolute presence that you are, can never be lost or forgotten. It is always realized, always free, always empowered. You are that. Let any false self-image, any illusion of karma, any trace of suffering fall away forever, here and now. Claim this as your natural state. From which you never separate. And abide beyond thought. Beyond emotion, beyond the human illusion, beyond all the beliefs that have bound you to the phenomenal plane, claim your freedom. Here and now. Realize there is no distinction between inner and outer. Between transcendent and immanent. Between phenomenal and noumenal. And abide in that realization that all dualities are delusion. Finally, realize the superposition of form and formless as a single reality that is always present. And know the truth of the non-duality of the multiplicity and the zero point. know that you are that. Shiva. Paramashiva. Shivoham. Om Tat Sat. Namaste. It's a joy to see everyone and be with you for this very auspicious Sangha rainy season retreat, which is traditionally the high point of the year's inner work, which culminates in the achievement of Buddhahood, or in Shiva consciousness, or Jivan Mukti, as it may be variously expressed in different traditions. But it means that this is the time of the year that is set aside, not just by ashrams, but by God, for the attainment of those who have dedicated their lives to achieving God consciousness, to receive the grace of that ultimate prize. And those who wish to win the prize will find that in this time period, it is very easy to do so, if your heart is completely dedicated to this realization and to the liberation of your soul from the suffering that has been caused by the ego and its ascension into unity with the Supreme Self. Because this is who you are, here and now, there can be no obstacles to your receiving this grace, because you are giving it to yourself. And so if it doesn't happen, it's because you chose for it not to happen. Because you chose to believe in the ego and its hallucinations, its delusions, its sufferings, its ambitions, its petty concerns, its projections, its futility and agony over the bliss of the liberation of your being from bondage. None of you here is foolish enough to make such a choice. But that choice must be made completely, wholeheartedly, and absolutely without ever looking back. Because if you look back, you may turn into a pillar of salt. The worst possible fate for a yogi. So take that biblical warning seriously, because your entire destiny for eternity is based on what you achieve in this moment of the illusion of time, to free yourself from the wheel of birth and death, and from that material entity that is born to die and to suffer and to have to learn through going through illusion and being awakened by the shock of recognition of its delusional projections. Why not voluntarily shed all of that, be free of it all? And be free of the root cause of those projections, which is the I thought. And claim the real nature of the self that is beyond thought, that is the absolute presence of the real, the undying, the formless, the absolute self that you are. And that no one can take from you except yourself. So this is why we gather for this period of intense focus upon the nature of what we are, to break free of the illusions and attachments to what we are not. if you have the clarity of understanding what must be let go of, what is false, what is conditioned and temporary, and that has no pertinence to your essential nature, and by letting all of that go, you will know that state of ultimate freedom. And you won't have to go through this round of birth and death ever again. You will realize your freedom from karma. As we go into the final days of Kali Yuga, the urgency of choosing liberation will increase exponentially. If you don't want to get out of this hell realm yet, just wait, you will. But the longer you wait, the harder it is, because the more anxiety and dread and terror will take over your mind, and the less you will be able to find that space of peace in which to meditate your way out of the darkness into the light. So while there is a margin of peace still in your world, in your frame of reference, while there is still mental coherence to whatever extent there is, use it to free yourself from the false paradigm that is the cause of having to go around the world of illusion over and over. And this is not a time when you want your body to die without your having died first to the ego, because you don't want to be reborn into a mother's womb at the end of days and have to deal as a very young child with the world's end. The maturity that you have gained is a great and precious gift, not to be squandered. Do not delay your self-liberation for your own sake and for the sake of all whom you love, because the only way you can pull another out of the quicksand of their hell realm is if you have come out of your own. This is our service, but we cannot serve if we have not yet reached a safety point on that rock of ages from which we can pull others out of the swamp. So may we all attain the safety of the real self, from which we can be of service to those souls who seek the light but do not have the strength to hold on to it by themselves. Time is shorter than you may believe, and conditions are changing rapidly. And it is very important to be ahead of the curve, not behind it. So that's my warning to the wise, for all of us, to make our decisions based on our understanding of the black hole that lies ahead for those who are ignorant or unwilling to face the truth. But there is also the singularity of infinite light that is not so much dead ahead as here and now, but you cannot see it until your third eye is open. But we are in that sphere of light now, And always, if we are in the vibrational frequency of that source of our being that emanates that light, and the projection of that is the appearance of this world. But it's more subtle levels of intelligence and presence and action at the higher levels of the sphere, the hypersphere in which we abide, on the angelic, the archangelic, the levels of those ascended beings who have already claimed their place at the right hand of God, can serve, whether their body is still in the physical plane or not, and to help bring about this transfiguration. But you have to have gained access to those levels of consciousness through shedding the attachment and identification with the grossest level, which comes with the ego's identification with the physical form. And so we cannot ascend until we have let go of the anchoring to the body, to time, to the past that exists only in the mind, not in reality, and to the command system that has been put into the operating system of the ego that holds one in a state of powerlessness and a state of futility and hopelessness and defective capacities. But these are illusions. They have no reality. And when you let go of that operating system and the persona that goes with it, you will realize that you never were who you thought you were. That was only a character in a hologram that you projected your consciousness into. But you are inherently free. But that freedom must be claimed and must be attained and sustained through time. A mere glimpse and then a return to the illusion will not bring salvation. It has to be a ceaseless realization until all tendency to fall to a lower level has been extinguished. This is the sadhana that must be achieved. So, in these 2 weeks, I want to give as much information and inspiration and sustenance of your attunement to the supreme reality of your highest level of selfhood, so that it becomes the default position that is sustained throughout time in every avasta of the body, waking dream or deep sleep, that you never leave the turiya state, which then becomes turiyatita. That is the supreme self. But you must abide in that long enough so that that state remains present as a quantum wave function that does not deviate, that because of its coherence overrides and transfigures all of the other functions that took place at inferior levels of consciousness and attunes all of those levels to the one, so there is a supreme axis, a pillar of light that descends from the highest level to the most gross and externalized and material, because matter itself is spirit, but that spirit must saturate matter again. The two have been divorced by the ego's separation from its own essential nature. And only through conscious reconnection will all of the levels of reality and of Kundalini and of our seven bodies be made whole into a single, unified field of consciousness that is the self. So, I have been working on choosing some teachings to share with you from the ancient traditions. And I want to do that during this retreat and to teach only the highest level of teachings during this period, a higher level of teaching than we even generally offer. Not that it isn't offered, because Ramana is there always, and so is Anandamayi Ma, and all of the teachings of non-duality, but they do not emphasize the core point that enables instantaneous liberation. And the reason those are not constantly taught is that the ego mind in duality misconstrues it, gets frustrated by it, and treats it in a way that can actually cause deviations toward nihilism and toward a sense of complete non-reality of structure, of dharma. And so the teachings that are the most accurate can only be understood by the most mature level of consciousness that has already made its commitments to the real, that has already assumed responsibility for one's vows, for the keeping of the yamas and the niyamas, and for the continual self-elevation of one's vibrational frequency. If one has done that, and has already in principle become a true sannyasi, a renunciate of ego and of phenomenal jouissance, then these teachings will be the fastest direct elevator to ultimate reality that is imaginable. And there's no reason not to take it. There's no reason to use a very slow local train when you can take the express. There's no reason to waste time because there isn't time to waste any longer. So I'm recommending that one takes in and retains the subtlety of the teachings that I'm going to present during this retreat. They're very, very subtle, and usually they slip through the mind and are not remembered and cannot be processed because they are too true for the ego to be able to apperceive. And if you take it in and retain it, they will dissolve the ego and all of its obstacles, all of its resistances, all of its illusions at a single stroke. But you have to be ready. And the teachings themselves always include a warning to every lama, every guru, every teacher of them. Do not share these with people who are not ready. But everyone here should be ready, must be ready, because you wouldn't be here otherwise. Whether your ego is ready or not is irrelevant. I want to make that very clear, that these teachings are not affected no matter what the condition of your ego may be, no matter how negative it might feel, no matter how sad, no matter how hopeless, no matter how dysfunctional, the state of your ego is totally irrelevant because it's not real. And we are here to discover what in you is real. And the real in you has never been dysfunctional or defective or lacking in any way, because there is only the one supreme self. You cannot be anything but that. No matter what your mind tells you to the contrary. And as soon as you realize you are not the mind, and that the thought patterns of the mind are conditionings that have been imposed on you from outside, and that have been nailed to your consciousness by traumatic events, you can recognize that none of those can hold you back if you realize you are the unborn self. And then you can wash away all of those traumatic residues of memory and command system and superego voices that keep you small and keep you lacking and keep you in a state in which you feel that this is impossible. Realize that that's a delusion, and that you have never been born. You have no phenomenal identity, and your real self was never, ever touched by any defilement, by any impurity, and that there is no lack in you, no impediment to your self-realization. Once you accept that, you will find that the recovery of your full empowerment and your full capacity as pure spirit to abide in this plane of apparent multiplicity without losing the realization of the unity of consciousness as a single whole will not be affected. You will not lose that absolute truth, and you can live in it because you will know palpably that samsara is nirvana, the transcendent is the imminent, and eternity is here and now in time and in impermanence, and functions as lack and loss and stupidity of the ego. It's not one or the other. You can be both. You can have the most stupid, unspiritual ego in the world and be liberated. This is one of the main achievements, I think, of Nisargadatta. You know, in that last book that we read, one of the teachings I didn't get to yet, but is, I think, probably the key one, is he said not only was he addicted to smoking bidis, you know, these horrible, powerful nicotine cigarettes, but he was addicted to chewing tobacco constantly. And the doctors told him, you got to stop. And he couldn't stop, even though it was killing him, literally. His ego was an idiot. Okay? Chewing tobacco. All right? None of you at least have that one, as far as I know. So you can be an addict to anything in any of the lower chakras, and it will not prevent your instant liberation. Now, I think for the most part, you will drop those addictions and not hold on to them once you know liberation. But even if you don't, it's irrelevant. So don't create some criterion that, oh, no, I can't be liberated now because, look, my ego is still doing this and thinking this and behaving like this. No, it's irrelevant because you're not the ego. So do not deviate from the real self that you are and create a problem that doesn't actually exist. It doesn't matter what character you have been destined to play in the hologram. You are the author, not the character. Once you are the author, you can change the character. Nisargadatta chose not to change it, but that doesn't mean you don't have the power to change it. But it's irrelevant whether you change it or not. If you want to continue chewing tobacco, you can do it and still be in Jivan Mukti, okay? It's very important to understand that your achievement of your transcendent self has no impediment regardless of what's happening at the phenomenal level. Now, if you're identified with the phenomenal level, yes, it does indeed, because it will create a karmic feeling of guilt and shame and a feeling of stupidity and a feeling of lack of power. I have no willpower. I'm this and that. And if you identify with that thought pattern, yes, you're a lost soul. You will have identified with the character you're playing. But once you realize you're not the character, let it do what it wants. Be free. And once you realize you're not the character, everything becomes possible and miraculous. Because there are no limitations once you have opened up the real of your being and its power of will, of creativity and intelligence, and of joy and of love and of light, then nothing will hold you back from expressing that in the world. But don't think you have to gain sainthood first, and then only then will you deserve the grace of God's liberation. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't have to work like that. If it does work like that, it's because you believe it works like that, and your belief, because you're so powerful, will determine your destiny. But there's no reason to hold on to the belief in cause or effect. There is no such thing as cause and effect, unless you believe there is. But everything that occurs on this plane occurs as a result of its meaning for you, not a causation on a physical level. It's a vertical, descendant materialization of that which is symbolic and then above that which is pure spirit. But the phenomenal plane itself and what occurs on it is no obstacle to your achieving the vertical realization of the very center of consciousness that is a hypersphere of which this is only the densest crust. And once you get into the essence, then you are in an entirely different reality. And that reality is indeed miraculous and unlimited. And you will realize your unborn nature and your nature that remains even at this moment not a bodily being but pure spirit, because you have never left that level of consciousness. You just think you have. When you stop thinking you have and you cut your connection of attachment to the physicalized identity, you will return to the source of your being and know the bliss of the self. And the character's fate will be irrelevant to you. It will be a vehicle that will be used in the service of the self, but it will have no sentimental value for you. And it's your freedom from that and all the constrictions of a bound being with all of its dependencies and attachments that you want to be free of, regardless of its state. You are not limited by the character. The author is always free. And once you realize you are all the characters, not just the one you had identified with, and you are the infinite potentiality of creating new characters of a type that don't exist in Kali Yuga, avatars of divine nature that will come in the next age because we are creating that vibrational frequency in even this lowest and grossest level of the hypersphere. That will emerge in time. But right now is the moment to realize the singularity itself and its inmost mystery that never appears in the world, that only opens to us now at the Omega point, which is the very deepest level of the secrets of Shiva that are given to those who are willing to pass through the eye of the needle and let go of all other identifications. You don't want to miss out on that revelation. So, I think that's all I should say for tonight. So I'm going to open the floor and see how this impacts you and anything else you would like to talk about during this retreat or would like to explore or any other observations that you would like to make about how to optimize this process. The floor is open. You have the mic.
Thank you for that beautiful opening. We've been reading in your book, or we've been discussing in the study group as well, and you mentioned it today, this let's call it the concept, or I know it's part of the Bible, of turning into pillars of salt, if you look back, and you said it again today, and I've been very intrigued because it's been mentioned many times these past weeks, and I have never really understood, or I don't really remember that passage of the Bible very specifically, and I'd like to, if you could speak a little more about why is it now this exact time. I think you even said in one of the recent teachings, I don't know, was it Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah. That Sodom and Gomorrah is here now. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, could you speak a little more about the whole idea of the pillars of salt, which you also in another teaching said, you know, they dissolve in the water if you... you were relating the two together. I can't remember specifically how, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, all the teachings of every scripture have to do with Sangam Yuga. They don't have to do with the past of biblical times, not in the most direct way. They are about this time, which is the end of time and the beginning of time. This is the time of the flood. It's the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the time of the angel of death with the Exodus. All of those are compressed into this moment. They are different metaphors. So the leaving of Egypt is another example of the same idea of leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Not everyone left. What did you say, 20% or something, right? So in the same way, God, Abraham said, God, if I can find 50 people, will you save Sodom? And God said, sure. And then he couldn't do it. How about 20? How about 10? No, he couldn't find anybody. So, okay, I get it. Can I take my relatives and get out quick before you nuke the place? And God said, okay, but don't look back. Right, that was basically the idea, and he went out, Abraham and his wife, and Lot and his wife. They were relatives, and they all got lucky and got out. But Lot's wife heard and saw the mushroom cloud, you know, behind, and looked back and got radiation that destroyed her. So on a gross level, it was a radiation burn that that destroyed her body in a shock wave, and so there's a physical aspect. But what we're talking about here is the spiritual metaphor that's much more relevant. We have all left Sodom and Gomorrah physically, but Sodom and Gomorrah as the ego, we haven't. Most of us still haven't left, or at least we're looking back at it, and it's still haunting us. And we're connected to it and attached to it and the people in it, and we don't want them to get nuked. And so we are in a state of paralysis and not moving toward God consciousness or the promised land and into safety. So if one is on the spiritual path and one is dissolving the ego, but one goes back, one will discover that one has lost touch with the life energy that was taking one out of the ego, and what is left will be the negredo. What is left will be the most dry, without any juice, any water of life, without any kind of nectar that could give one a sense of power or rightness in continuing to be on the path, because one has failed that looking back. It's the same thing that Orpheus did when he was taking Eurydice out of hell, and he was told, don't look back at her. And then he looked back, and then he lost her, right? And she fell back into hell. And so this issue of not looking back is contained in many mythological systems. So once you have decided to kill the ego, don't look back and try to revivify it. Let it be gone forever without a trace, or you will become part of its non-living zombie-like nature in its most horrific negredo form. Because what will have been left of the ego at that point, once you have left Sodom to some extent, will only be that which is most connected to the lowest level of that Sodom-like vibrational frequency. And then one will be in an undead state, literally a zombie-like state, similar to what the Rime of the Ancient Mariner was discussing. If you remember that great poem, right, where he had killed the albatross and now had to wear it around his neck. He felt the shame of having killed this beautiful creature, which is his real self, by falling into that lower level of aggression. And so when you fall into any of that anger, lust, attachment, greed, the arrogance of the ego, the narcissism of the ego, then you fall into that level of being a pillar of salt. And then there is no power to move any longer. There's no muscles. There's just something that will collapse at the first touch of adversity. It has no capacity to endure. It has no life. Its life will have kept going towards spirit, and what it will identify with is death. Okay. Thank you. So we have another question from Nirmala.
Yes. So my question, I'm still learning here.
And we all are.
But it has to do with this Kundalini map that we have been seeing, that Radama has been teaching. And just coming from a session myself now, that was one of the questions I put to Marjiva Mao. In what way is that Kundalini map, what is the relationship between it and what just happened in the session?
Well, I don't know what happened in the session, so I can't tell you that.
No, but what happened in the session is that I can go back to the unbearable truth, and I can pass through all these feelings of fear and anger and pain, and I can feel the feeling, I can release it, and then I come into this light. The heart opens, and there is peace, mm-hmm. and there's no confusion mm-hmm. in the mind. Mm-hmm. So I was asking her if that is what the Kundalini map is trying to expressing, is conveying.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things it's conveying. You moved out of the realm of the ego with mm-hmm. all of those feelings that you described mm-hmm. of such negativity, the first three chakras, and you extracted your soul from the ego, and now you could experience chakra 4 mm-hmm. and be at 4.5 assemblage point, the Viveka point, and discern the ego from the soul, and that's when you have to decide, I'm not going back, I won't look back yeah. into the ego, right? That's the real question. Will you stay in the soul? And then keep going, because the soul is only 4. There's 5, 6, and 7 still to go, right? So, but now you have the truth of your being as love that was never touched by the karma that produced anger and all of those other feelings. And you can use love now as the rocket fuel to go up to chakra 5, where there's wisdom and there is an understanding of the infinite nature of your being, and then go to chakra 6, where you will attain mastery over the mind itself and never fall again. And then from there, the total final surrender of the last traces of ego and attachment to Maya and into the transcendent self. So, yeah, the map is giving you a route to follow to get to your real self again. And you have reached a point where freedom is now possible for you at the soul level if you choose not to go back and identify as a body and as a being with a past who is angry about it and who has all these kinds of attitudes and projections that come from the past. You can stay free of all of that immediately without having to keep processing if you'll stay in chakra 4 and go up instead of going down. Okay?
I understand, yes. Thank you. So I if I could wish something for this retreat is that to be able to move further up.
Yeah. Well, you have that ability. Now
in
just
the meditations.
Use it. Okay? Take the elevator up, but there's no obstacle to your ascension. The obstacles were all in the three chakras you have already now gone beyond. So now it's easy. And take that easy path without getting lost in the deviations that can occur, even in chakra 4 and 5 and 6. And make sure you go all the way to 7. That's the real issue. Because you can get siddhis at chakra 6 that will make you feel like you're a magician and a shaman and a very powerful wizard and all of that. You don't want to get caught in that. And you don't want to get caught in just having knowledge from the Akashic records that enable you to understand everything at a very deep level of the phenomenal plane or even of the hypersphere. All of that knowledge is irrelevant. Liberation is all that matters. And once you realize that, take the direct route without stopping for sideshows and tourist traps along the way, okay?
Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Here's one, Vajra.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the secrets. I have a question. I think in one of the morning teachings, I think the last Nisargadatta teaching you gave, you spoke about the difficulty of disidentification. I think, I don't know if I remember that incorrectly.
Yeah, he said that.
Okay, he spoke about the difficulty of disidentification. And I was actually, because we speak about this all the time, disidentifying, and today you said cut identification to know the bliss of ascension. I don't know if you said that or if I just wrote it down like that. But you also spoke about the vertical descent. So I was wondering if you can talk about the difficulty of disidentification and also whatever is the vertical descent.
Well, they're opposites, right? The descent is once you have achieved it, you come back to serve, to be a bodhisattva, to be a way shower, that kind of thing, but you're no longer within the karmic framework in which you can be impinged on. So
at that point, it's not karma yoga anymore.
Well, it is in the sense that you are in total yoga, union with God, and your body does karma, but you're not identified with the body, so you're in wu wei. Right, total non-action from that place of pure spirit, but the body will continue to function. Yeah, so that's what happens in the vertical descent. But your question was about the difficulty, correct?
Of disidentification.
Yeah. Okay. Remember what I just said a few minutes ago, that it doesn't matter the condition of your ego to be liberated from the ego. It's irrelevant what the ego is like, okay? But if you are attached to what the ego is like and what its jouissances are, then that can hold you back from that final liberation, in which you will no longer even perceive the, let's say, the sensuous gratification offered by jouissance, because you're in a total supersensuous realm of consciousness. So the body may continue to do things, but there will be no enjoyment that you will feel because you're already in such bliss, nothing could add to that. And so the difficulty, though, is letting go of the enjoyment long enough to connect to the bliss that then frees you from any attachment to those, not the behaviors so much, but to the gratification that they provided, right? To be free of desire for that or whatever it might be.
Does that include like negative gratifications, like I guess being angry or?
Well, that's a positive gratification for those who. Oh yeah, anger is one of the biggest jouissances there are. Chakra 3, fury, especially if it's self-righteous and, you know, those idiots, they deserve to get, you know. So anger is one of the most difficult for many people to let go of, much more than chakra 2 or even chakra 1. So I do think that if one sees those patterns, that one has to make an extra effort not to want that enjoyment. But you see, that enjoyment is always there to compensate for a sense of lack and inadequacy and inferiority. And so one's afraid one will collapse if one lets go of one's anger and doesn't attack first before one is judged by the other, right? So you can't really let go of it until you've tasted that supersensuous bliss and then can trade your loyalty from the lower chakras to chakra 7. And then when your loyalty is there, then that pillar of light descends and carries you to the source and frees you from, you know, being constricted in that sense of dependence on some gratification other than God.
But this comes from grace then.
Yeah, but grace is yourself. There's no other.
It reminded me when you were speaking of the teaching on being delicious enough to be eaten by God, but mm-hmm. also you said the opposite. You said that it doesn't matter the state of the ego. So.
Well, because you're not the ego. You can be delicious to God as soul, regardless of what the ego is like. Okay, but your soul has to be to love that that surrender to God that brings you into unity. Okay, and that power then releases you from the clutching onto the lower chakras.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Oh, Marjivama, yes, please.
Thank you. Okay, you asked at the very end of your teaching, how do I optimize this time? Mm-hmm. Please say more. I want to optimize these 2 weeks.
Okay, wonderful. Keep the mind absolutely silent. Okay. Have a dead mind and be constantly alive to its deadness. And keep it dead. Don't let it pop up and create narratives that bring you back into lower states. So that's that. You have to be the guardian of your own internal solitude that doesn't allow any superego voices in, doesn't allow any inner child voices in, doesn't allow any kind of reveries or narratives that would bring you back into identity with the body and with the time line of the ego. So that would be the first thing. And to stay in connection with the vibrational frequency of total love of God, okay? Keep the heart open. So the mind dead, but the heart totally open and alive to be filled with God's presence. Literally, God has to penetrate you and fill you as a soul. And so totally take up all of your inner space with that divine power and love and light that there's no space for the ego even to come into. And it is completely dissolved by that power. And it's not your power as a soul, but it is your power through the love of the self that then reunites you back into the realization that you are that you love, that you and the beloved are one. Okay, so thank you for asking. Anyone else? How many are looking forward to this retreat? How many are going to achieve liberation during this retreat? Yes! All right. Wonderful. That's the right attitude because you are already liberated. So what you're actually coming to is simply the refusal to deceive yourself that you're anything but pure, infinite consciousness. Okay? So please keep that in mind. Pure, total, infinite, divine consciousness. That's what you are. With all of its qualities of light, of love, of bliss, of intelligence, of power of every kind, of creativity, of peace, of silence, and of dharma. As a coherent recognition of the beauty of order, of law in the service of love, that one manifests and models and therefore emanates as an energy field of coherence, of logos, of reason, of the Tao and its power of bringing everything into harmony, and that you are the source of that harmonious vibrational field, not as a bodily being, but as a pillar of light that shines to infinity. And you see that same light in everyone, because there is only one light. There is no difference. Don't see yourself as different from others. There are no others. We are all manifestations of the one light, the one love, the one power. And the more that there is that state, the more that egoless merging into the infinite self becomes our reality. And that is what ends all the glitches and the frictions and the struggles and the projections that create our suffering. Okay? So practice that ceaselessly until it is the one sanskara that remains and all the others are extinguished. Okay? So I think we've made a good beginning for the retreat, and I hope that we are consistent in our application of our knowledge, and that it is realized in the heart and it's expressed in every moment. So make everything you do a meditation. The sitting meditation is the least of what we're doing. Your whole life is a meditation. Everything you do, do it mindfully, do it lovingly, do it beautifully, do it with care, and serve the world because you're serving yourself by serving the world, because the world is the manifestation of the self. And serve egolessly, without needing anything back, without needing to be stroked and patted on the back and told how good you are, but to give that goodness as simply a natural attribute of your being, without concern whether anyone else appreciates you, without any reaction, even if you feel someone didn't look at you and say hello, or they ignored you in some way, or slighted you, or you felt that their eyes wouldn't make contact with you. Don't create stories about anything. You don't know why anyone does what they do, but you are there only to shine and to know that whatever happens karmically to your character is only part of its database of karma that projects the world that then comes back to it. Everything is feedback that comes from yourself back to you, from the other. It doesn't come from the other. It's all internal. And so the way you change the world is from inside out, by you becoming the total being of love and wisdom that you wish everyone else would be. You do it first. And then you will see all others will prove to be your mirrors. But you must be free of needing the other to be a certain way to make you feel okay. All right? When you're independent of any feedback from the other, or any care whether your ideas were liked, or whatever your food was that you cooked, or the seva you did, or whatever else happened in your life that day, it should not, the feedback that you get or lack thereof should have no effect upon you. Everything should be an act of unconditional love that doesn't require any quid pro quo. And when you're in that state, then you will see that the grace of God becomes your compensation. You don't need compensation, but the grace of God, because of your own generosity of spirit, will raise you to an even higher level of being. The less you need anything from the other, the more you receive from God. And so use that principle to need nothing from anyone, and everything will be given by God, including the ultimate union with the self that frees you from all illusion and all duality. Okay, I hope this has been helpful to you, and I wish all of you blessings for your direct, instantaneous liberation during this retreat. Don't look back, okay? When you feel yourself rising, don't look back at Sodom and Gomorrah and say, maybe I should go one more time and visit the bar there. Don't go back, and don't have any second thoughts about attaining liberation from the ego now. And don't believe your ego or superego if they tell you you can't do it, okay? Don't believe that you're not qualified, because you cannot be anything but God. There is nothing but God. The one self, the infinite self, is yourself always. The character you're playing, irrelevant. What you are is the untainted, unchanging, absolute, blissful, luminous self, here and now, always, forever. Namaste. Okay. I was going to read you from one of the teachings, but we'll do it tomorrow. So, have a blissful evening and stay in one-pointed consciousness and free yourself from thought and all of its burdens, and know that truth of your light, weightless, infinite, boundaryless self. Enjoy the bliss here and now. Don't wait. The bliss. Let yourself be addicted to bliss.